Hey, welcome to our Intentional Living Center today. We crack open the door not only of our center, but of our own family today, the Carlson family. We're talking about loss. You know, this month is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Month. And I know many of you have been through this loss. Well, it's affected our family personally. Our youngest son, Derek, and his wife, Aria, are here in the studio to share with you their very personal story and our story as a family of the premature birth of our granddaughter, Zuri Rose. And we're here to encourage you today and to give you some resources that'll be helpful for you. So from the Carlson family, welcome to the Intentional Living Center.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. Today on Intentional Living, Dr. Randy has a tender conversation with his son and daughter-in-law, Derek and Aria, who lost their unborn child some months back. If you faced loss and found God's comfort, tell us your story. 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you very much, Kurt. And we do welcome you to this special program on intentional living today. And as Kurt mentioned, our youngest son, Derek, is here in the studio, and his wife, Aria. And they're the parents of our grandson, Toby, and also our granddaughter, Zuri Rose, who's now in heaven. And that's the story they're here to share with us. Guys, welcome. Thank you for coming into the studio, because back on February 12th, we as a family watched you guys and stood with you going through a very difficult day. And maybe we could just set it up by kind of taking us back to that day. Aria, what happened on that day?
Well, Zuri was, she was born at 22 weeks, and there were some complications with my pregnancy. About a week before she was born, we were told that I had lost all of the amniotic fluid, so babies, they can't survive in the womb like that. I mean, a lot of times there are ways to keep the pregnancy going until they can be born at a safer age. We just kind of knew that things were going to be really difficult. So we fought really hard to find good medical care. I was in the hospital for about a week. I had already been on bed rest for about 6 weeks at that point with some other difficulties. But we were just really hoping and trusting and believing that God was going to help us through that. And we were just choosing to be hopeful and take it one day at a time. Unfortunately, she was born at 22 weeks, and at that at that stage, they're not the doctors and nurses aren't obligated to try to save the babies. It was kind of up to us. The doctors checked her out after she was born, and they just told us that she was just too little, and so it would just cause her more pain if we tried to sustain her life. So we just decided that we didn't want her to suffer. So we said goodbye, and we let her go.
And, you know, I had the opportunity to stand in the room and watch you guys and her hold Zuri Rose a little bit as well. And, Derek, I know that was a particularly difficult day for as you as a dad and a husband. And I know as a man, what can you do? What was your experience like that day?
Well, I think it was just it was such a difficult, you know, several weeks leading up to it. You know, we got that early on at 9 weeks. With that diagnosis that there could be complications, but the doctors weren't feeling like it was going to be too much of an issue. And then, you know, once we got to that point where it was like the doctor said, there's just nothing we can do, I've never experienced that where I've heard a doctor say, this is it, there's nothing we can do. And I think for me that was just such a blow to the gut. And so it was really a point of I've never had to fully and completely rely on God as much as I did in that moment. I remember when we were in the hospital and we, you know, Aria was just having some pain. And the next thing we know, the doctor comes in and says, you know, that's, you know, that we're going to have to go ahead and induce labor. And so for me, it was kind of that feeling of helplessness, that feeling of, you know, there's nothing I can do at this point. And just knowing that it was completely out of my hands and that God was in complete and utter control at that point. And so for me, my focus really shifted to how can I best take care of my wife. I kind of went into protector mode, into what can I do to solve this problem? And so, you know, ended up making lots of calls. We got reconnected with cousin that I haven't talked to in a while, who had a similar experience. She really helped us work through it. Her situation ended differently. She was able to have the pregnancy, and you know, that was a huge blessing for them. But so that was something that I felt like I could do in the moment. That was very helpful for us. But after everything was said and done, and she delivered, and you know, we're there holding Zuri in our arms, and it was kind of at that point that we knew it was she's in God's hands at that point, and we know where she is today. Mm-hmm. But you know, for us, it was after the fact, just knowing God was with us through it. Knowing that God had, even though outcome didn't end the way we wanted, we knew that God was directing every step along the way. We just saw a lot of different miracles throughout the process. We just saw, you know, reconnecting with cousins, and we saw people stepping up and helping out, and we had more prayer support than we ever imagined we could, and so that was significant for us.
All right, we're going to take just a real quick break, and then when we come back, I'd like to have you guys talk a little bit about your journey since then. Okay. I know it's been tough. Tough for all of us as a family, and people don't know what to say. And I know you've been blogging, Aria, and you're a beautiful writer. And by the way, Aria's blog's available on our website, and you have some very helpful resources you're going to mention that have been helpful to you. And if you come to Aria's blog here through our website, you see some pictures of Aria and Derek and their son Toby, and her blog, some powerful writing, and a very moving photograph of the footprints of little Zuri Rose that we have with our other grandchildren on our desk at home as well. And so sharing a little bit of our Carlson family experience, understanding that loss is real, it's painful, and as Derek and Aria share their own story with you, we'll come back and share a little bit more. If you want to join us or you have a perspective on this, you can call. By the way, if you come to theintentionallife.com, click on the broadcast highlights. That'll take you right to the area where you can get to the blogs and the resources that Aria and Derek have put together for you guys today. Come to theintentionallife.com.
This is Bobby Real for Intentional Living. Have you ever had someone come up to you when you were feeling great and say something like, "Hey, don't feel good? Just wait, it'll get worse, I promise." Of course not. If you did, you'd think that person was absolutely crazy. Well, have you ever thought about telling a person not to feel bad and the impact that might have? Yet well-meaning people will often tell a grieving person, whether it's an adult or a child, not to feel bad, and then try to reason with the person and justify their statement by saying something like, "Well, don't feel bad. At least he's no longer in pain," or "She's in a better place," or they might even say, "You ought to be grateful you had your dad with you for so long." A child might be told, "Grandpa's in heaven now with Jesus." "Ouch, guess I shouldn't feel bad Grandpa died." Grieving people don't need to be reasoned with when they've just experienced a significant loss, nor do they need someone to try and fix them. What they do need is for someone to listen to them without any kind of analysis, judgment, or criticism. Remember, grief is a matter of the heart, not the head. Want to comfort someone who is grieving? Just be a heart with ears. For Intentional Living, this is Bobby Rill.
Thank you, Bobby. That's very good advice. Today we've cracked open the Carlson family a little bit here to share with you the journey we've been through as a family during this year. Back on February 12th, our granddaughter, Zuri Rose, came prematurely to Derek and Aria, 22 weeks along, and just too little to survive. And they're sharing the journey that they've been through. And I appreciate you guys sharing, because I know it's been very painful for you. Maybe to clarify one thing, Aria, earlier we're talking about inducing. That was something that one doctor was sort of encouraging, but you guys really took a different path, didn't you?
Yeah, when we first got to the hospital and they gave us the diagnosis, the doctor, she didn't have the best bedside manner, I would say. And so that was, that didn't really help the situation. But she was suggesting that we go ahead and induce labor at 21 weeks. And somehow we just knew doing that, we were kind of giving up right then. And we felt like, you know, if the baby has a heartbeat, we're not going to just give up. We're going to really fight to make sure that we give her the best possible chance. And so we declined to induce, and we actually ended up transferring to a different hospital where God really, he just really had his hand in it. There was a friend who had recommended a specific doctor that we try to work with, and she just so happened to be the doctor on call. Mm. And she was wonderful. She's a Christian, and so she really understood our position on, you know, the sanctity of life. And she really worked with us. She came up with a couple of different suggestions. She ended up having me stay in the hospital a few days longer. And I'm thankful for that because, you know, even though it ultimately didn't end the way we were hoping it would, it still gave us that those few extra days mm-hmm. to lean into God, to come together as a family, as a couple, and just live out what we believe, which is we believe that, you know, life starts at conception. And so we wanted to do what we could to try to keep Zuri's life as long as it could be.
Well, Derek, you're a young man. You guys have been married now for how long? You guys been married?
3 years.
Three and a half.
Almost four.
Almost four years.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, this is kind of one of those grow up fast experiences.
Yeah.
How has it impacted you, Derek?
Well, I think, like you said, I mean, it's there's not been a situation I've had where I've been forced to take. It was incredible during the experience. I felt like God was saying, this is my opportunity to present to you to step up as a man and as a father and as a husband to take charge. I'm not normally a natural leader. I don't normally step up in situations and say, I'm going to take over and do this and that. And so that was a situation where I could really hear the voice of God saying, you need to step up and do this. And so that's something that even after everything that's happened, I felt like I've kind of carried with me, that I need to kind of take on that position of leadership. And that it's important for me to continue to be the leader of our home and of our family, and to be the spiritual kind of guidance for my family.
And he's done a really great job. I was blown away during the whole experience, just how he stepped in. I was a mess. Yeah. I was a mess as soon as we got the diagnosis. I couldn't handle it. And it was just amazing how he stepped up. He was there. He wanted to be there. He didn't want to leave my side. And I had to push him out a few times and say, go home, get some rest, take a shower, get some food. But he God was good. Derek definitely stood up, and he did what he needed mm-hmm. to do for our family. It was really amazing.
You know, I know in your blogs, you've been journaling your journey on this aria, mm-hmm. And one of the things you wrote about was the silence. You know, what do you say to someone, and what's been your experience? What would you say to someone who's listening today? They have a loved one or someone at church, and you know they've gone through a similar situation. People don't know what to say.
Yeah.
What was it that you wrote? What was it that you wrote? I think was so helpful to people.
Well, I think for me, as someone who's been on the receiving end of the silence, I have to say that being afraid to potentially say the wrong thing and just choosing not to say anything is worse than possibly saying the wrong thing. Some things that I found were really helpful for people to say was just the most cliche and obvious thing, I'm so sorry. Just having someone acknowledge that I'm going through a difficult time, that really helped. I had a few people who would send me text messages even, you know, a few months after and just say, I'm thinking about you, praying for you. That was really great. I had a couple of friends who offered to just bring me lunch, you know, and those days and weeks following cooking and trying to feed myself and my family were the last things on my mind. So definitely having people come in to help out with meals and things around the house was great. Even when people would say things like, I don't know what to say, but I just want you to know that I love you and I'm here for you. Mm-hmm. That was great. One of the most powerful things someone ever said to me was, I wish I could have had a chance to know your little one.
Yeah.
Because that acknowledged that she had a life, and it mattered, it happened, and that her life is always going to be important to me as her mom.
Yeah.
So.
Well, to all of us, very, very personal part of our lives and our journey we've been through, and to know that God was present in that room that day, in the life of that little girl, and at the funeral, to be able to say goodbye, but know that we'll see her again someday. Does it make heaven seem different to you guys in terms of its reality?
I think so.
Probably makes it more appealing.
I've never been forced to think about before the situation, you know, what happens with children that, you know, that pass too soon. And so, you know, it really kind of made me kind of have to dig in and think about what does that mean, losing a child on a spiritual level, and understanding that God is a good God and that he's righteous and that, you know, he cares after the children. You know, that's what Jesus said, yeah. Do not prevent them from coming to me, and that the kingdom of heaven is made up of such as these, that the children are what sure. God's heart is for. And so the reality of heaven is for us different. You know, before it was kind of like, you know, when we pass, we're going to wait for our children. But now we know that we have children waiting for us.
Well, we'll take just a quick break. We're going to come back and offer some hope. I know, Aria, you're a student, and you love to read and learn, and you've got some resources that were helpful to you that we've made available on our blog, or your blog, mm-hmm. that's available on our website to your blog, where people can get to that. And we'll talk a little bit about some resources that were helpful to you and some other practical things. This is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Month. And so we decided to crack open the door a little bit and allow you into our own family. And I appreciate Derek, our youngest son, Donna's and my youngest son, and his wife, Aria, coming in to share with us today. And so where's Toby? Where's young Toby?
Toby's having a blast hanging out with Nana.
Yeah, he's with Nana, Donna, upstairs here.
It's almost like Disneyland for him.
And he's having a great time. Probably snacks even here. We don't know.
He's got his snacks and his tractors and his trucks, and so he's good to go.
All right. With a quick break, we'll be back with more. If you have something you want to join us online to share, a question or story, or call us, 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. If you haven't been to our website lately, and specifically to our Intentional Living Center store, then you probably haven't seen a great resource that we're making available just for this month. It's called the Faith Builders Pack, and in this bundle, there is my daily walk devotional, 101 Things for Your Faith, Finding God's Will CD, From Belief to Behavior CD, and Is There Enough Evidence to Convict You CD. This is really a great bundle, and you'll find it at half off. So go to theintentionallife.com. Again, that's theintentionallife.com. Click on resources and click on Intentional Living Store. Don't go away. Dr. Randy's got more with Derek and Aria. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever thought of the Bible as a history book? It's a collection of real stories that happen to real people. Discover a whole new way to experience the Bible with the Intentional Word Chronological Bible from Intentional Living. From the creation to the life of David and through the life of Christ, the Intentional Word Chronological Bible arranges the entire Bible, books, chapters, and even verses in the order events actually happened. Rediscover God's Word, the Intentional Word Chronological Bible from theintentionallife.com.
Swim exotic waters in a faraway land. Play in cascading waterfalls. Plunge into a crystal clear, deep blue pool. And never leave home. To say thank you for your gift of any amount to the Intentional Living Center today, we'll send you the brand new Living Water 16-month wall calendar. The beautiful images of God's creation and specially selected Bible verses remind us how much Jesus, the water of life, truly satisfies. Your gift will help keep Intentional Living on the air, allowing us to reach out, refresh, and restore people every day. Go to theintentionallife.com to request your 16-month Water of Life calendar and support the Intentional Living Center.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt, and welcome to our Intentional Living Center today live as we crack open the door on the Carlson family. And, you know, none of us are immune from loss. None of us are immune from the stuff. Life is life, and every family faces stuff. And the stories may be slightly different, but the themes continue to be the same. Loss is one of the themes. And this month is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Month. And Aria and Derek, our kids, Derek, our son, and his wife, our daughter-in-law, Aria, have been through a loss, and that means all of us as a family. Back in February 12th, our granddaughter, Zuri Rose, came prematurely at 22 weeks and just not quite big enough to survive. God had a different, something else in mind. And over these weeks, Aria and Derek, I know, have grieved. We've all grieved and probably handled things correctly and incorrectly, but we're learning that this is something that all of us as families we face. And I appreciate you guys coming in today.
Well, we're glad we can be here to talk about it.
Willing to share this, which is hopeful because I'm not sure you could have done this 2 weeks after, a month after. You know, this is something to give perspective. Somebody, what do you say to someone, Aria, maybe a woman listening today, and she's just went through this or some similar story, and she's looking in the rearview mirror, it's only a couple days, a couple weeks, and she's thinking, like, I'm absolutely stuck. What hope would you offer to her?
Well, first of all, I'd just tell her how sorry I am that she is going through this terrible, terrible experience. I would tell her, you know, on a hopeful note, it gets better in that the first step is you kind of get used to the grief and you don't feel like you're controlled by it anymore. Over time, I've learned how to deal with the emotions that come with the grief so that they don't just kind of hit me all at once and I just feel overcome by them. I've kind of learned how to take care of myself when I'm having a particularly difficult day. So it gets better in that over time, you learn how to incorporate the grief as a lifestyle. I know that sounds kind of morbid, but it's true for our family. It's kind of a lifestyle in that we've had to learn to allow the grief to be there. Sometimes certain situations are just, it reminds us of things, or just it comes out of nowhere and we just kind of feel those emotions come back. And so we've had to learn how to incorporate that into our lives. And for our son, we've had to kind of adjust so that our family is bigger than what it looks like, but you know, we only have one living child. And so for us, we've kind of had to adjust. And so that we do talk about with our son, even though he's young, you know, we let him play with some of the toys that we had for Zuri. And we tell him, you know, that's Zuri's little teddy bear. And we let him play with that. So that's the new paradigm for us. And so I would say to anybody going through this, that it does get better and you learn how to adjust to a new paradigm. And over time, God really does heal your heart and he helps you to grow spiritually. Mm-hmm. I had to learn that if I didn't let the difficult emotions with grief, if I didn't let them be present and feel them fully, then I was going to come out on the other side. But the things that were going to be left of me were the things that I knew needed to be changed to begin with anyways. So going through this experience has been hard spiritually because I've had to come to terms with some things about myself that I knew all along I needed to change, but I've been put in situations where it's become like super obvious, like you really have to change that now. And so God is just good at reminding me to be still and know who he is. And so I think that's the thing I would say to anybody going through this is just when you're having that really tough moment where you're just feeling pulled down, be still, literally. And know that he is God, and he'll get you through those next 2 minutes and then two more minutes and so on. And before you know it, more time has passed.
That's good enough.
One of the things, too, that we went through counseling, we went to a counseling session, and one of the things that the counselor talked about was that this is the new normal for us.
Yeah.
That we're not going to go back to the way things were before the loss. You have to accept that there is a new normal, and that's part of kind of the process through grief and suffering and loss, is that just accepting that we're not going to go back to the point where there wasn't a point where we lost a child, and kind of make that part of, you know, our lives going forward. But then one of the other things that we're able to get a lot of help from was that we've had some friends of ours who've gone through similar grief and loss themselves, and we've reconnected with them and talked to them, and they were willing to come out and ask us very, you know, very specific questions about ourselves and about Zuri, and talk about Zuri. It wasn't something that they were avoiding or not discussing. And so for us to actually get out and talk specifically about Zuri and her life, and, you know, that really was kind of healing for us as well.
And it is healing. Being here today, I'm sure, is part of the healing process. You guys have been real brave in sharing. But you got some good news to share.
Yeah.
Can we just tell the whole world right here, today, now? Go ahead, Derek.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
You want to do it together? No, okay. we're pregnant again.
Yeah,
so
exciting.
We are expecting, hoping and praying for a child in March. And so that's a huge answer to prayer for us. It was a concern of ours that we wouldn't be able to get pregnant again, but that was...
everything's okay.
Yeah. So everything is good so far. The doctors are saying everything is clear, and so we're just trusting and knowing that we're going into this process with, you know...
A new mindset.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's a good way of putting it. New mindset, new reality, new normal, as you guys, as you said. Hey, appreciate you guys. Love you guys.
Love you guys, too.
Thank
you. Yeah.
Thank you, Derek and Aria, for sharing your story.
Thank you.
And, you know, we had a lot of calls. We didn't have an opportunity to get people on the phone, just a lot of people calling with pain. Our lines are busy. Can I encourage you to come to our website, go to theintentionallife.com, and you can click on the broadcast highlights. It'll take you right to the page there. You'll see a picture of Derek and Aria and the cutest, one of the cutest little boys on the planet, Toby. And
yeah, no bias there, right?
And some of the resources that we didn't get a chance to talk about that were very helpful to you, you put links on here, including you can take a look at Aria's blog, her story, her journey, and more pictures and more personal insights. So we've opened the door to you guys today. We love you. And we're in this process of life and loss together. And so thank you, Derek and Aria, again for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we got to go find Toby. He's somewhere in the building here with Nana, and give him a big hug. Thanks to all of you. Thanks for being a part of the program today, allowing us to share a part of our lives with you. And we'd love your feedback. You can join us on Facebook. You can, again, come to the website at theintentionallife.com. Thanks to our members who make this program possible with their monthly support. Thank you for standing with us. Upcoming programs, if you're thinking about getting married, I got 10 questions or 10 reasons not to get married you should think through first, okay? Not to discourage you, but to give you some perspective for the future, and that's coming up on a future program. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.